This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It's the 26th of November, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online to learn more, ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller will check in shortly with the news, including a look at what may be ahead for the high prices of fertilizer, and a look back at what Southern Rust did to the U.S. corn crop this year. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin updates us on the volatile Thanksgiving time weather across Indiana. And yesterday, corn, beans, and wheat all bounced around before closing mostly higher in light volume trade. Arlen Suderman has market commentary. It's all straight ahead on the Hat Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
The trend for fertilizer prices and corn disease hit hard this year. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Prices that farmers are paying for fertilizer remain sky high. What are the thoughts for fertilizer prices in 2026? CJ Miller reports.
It's a tough year, 2025. 2026 doesn't look a lot better.
And that's Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer with StoneX. He says we're still seeing global supply issues for phosphate.
China's normally the world's largest exporter of phosphate. They normally export 8 to 10 million ton. I will be thrilled if they hit 4.5 million ton this year. And unfortunately, there's nobody to fill that gap. The global S&D for phosphate is very, very tight, and that's why you're seeing the price as high as it is.
However, he says that farmers could see relief when it comes to urea prices in 2026.
We've seen a lot more exports from China, which is a massive improvement over 2024. Europe is still going to struggle with their production rate. That's not expected to end anytime soon. Middle East has found peace. That's hopeful that we're not going to see war impact that production. So I feel like the nitrogen sector is in a better shape.
Any changes for potash in 2026?
Potash is still in good shape. It's just a logistical game. It's gone back to being potash, boring old potash.
He says it does help that potash is being mined just north of the U.S. in nearby Canada.
Potash, we are already a massive, massive manufacturer. I'm saying this from a Canadian standpoint. They're the biggest producer and exporter by far. We've already got enough supply there, but that's where the money has been flowing to open up some mines in the U.S. I love it for the farmers around those mines. That is going to help their pricing.
He adds that the problems with the pricing and availability of farm fertilizers stem from the fact that the U.S. is heavily reliant on importing the supply when some of that fertilizer could be produced here domestically.
I think the one thing we can do the most with is nitrogen production. We're a net importer. We have some of the best natural gas supplies in the world. We have some of the lowest prices of gas in the world. We have some of the most politically stable countries in the world. And people say, well, it's a dirty production. We can produce it cleaner than the rest of the world. Our standards are going to be higher than what other people can do. So let's produce this at home. Let's build those plants here and quit being reliant on tons coming from like Russia and the Middle East and things like that.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Tar spot has been the big corn disease we've discussed for the past several years. And there was some this year, but it certainly didn't win the 2025 award for biggest yield robber.
I have never seen the level of southern rust pressure across the Corn Belt like we did in 2025.
Kim Tudor is the technical marketing manager for plant health at BASF.
It caught people off guard. Generally speaking, it doesn't come across the Corn Belt until much later because it blows in from the Gulf of Mexico, you know, and sometimes it comes in super late in the season. But that disease is particularly troublesome because it has a really fast reproductive cycle. Its latent period is only 7 to 10 days, so every week, generally speaking, it's putting off new spores. And so when it comes in, it hits hard.
And Tudor says 2025 wasn't just a year of southern rust and tar spot either.
There was gray leaf spot too. Some fields had northern corn leaf blight. So it was truly a complex of diseases. That corn seed was fighting from the time it went in the ground.
With all those challenges, farmers who chose to cut fungicide from the budget this year likely struggled. Tudor says we can all be a little short-sighted, including her, when it comes to fungicide decisions. You can get caught looking at just the most recent year.
When you look at a performance-driven fungicide like Veltima, and you look at its performance year over year over year, it continues to deliver that yield benefit, that stress mitigation benefit. And it's that consistency that pays for itself.
She shared with me a story of an Iowa grower who decided to apply fungicide to a smaller number of acres. His conclusion at the end of the season.
He said, if you ever let me not treat all my corn acres again, please hit me upside the head with a 2x4. And I think that sums it up really well.
Tudor encourages farmers to have conversations about fungicide now. She even suggests taking advantage of BASF's 0% financing and booking the application if you're thinking about applying Veltima aerially. Hear more from Tudor at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
Mother Nature pointing to the calendar and saying, hey, look, stupid. It's time to be cold. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Happy day before Thanksgiving, everyone. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to be quite the ride through the Thanksgiving holiday weekend here. Strong north and west winds developed overnight. We have wind advisories in parts of the state today. These winds coming across the Great Lakes, creating a good deal of lake effect cloud cover in the northern part of the state, and I won't rule out lake effect on again, off again snowflakes near Lake Michigan to start, but I won't rule out northern tier counties of Indiana. Mostly we're seeing this big action in Michigan. I mention that because, look, if you're planning to travel up to Michigan, if Grandma's house is in Michigan here, you may have to allow for a little extra time, depending on where you're going in the western part of the state or so. It could be a little bit dicey. But for Indiana here, I honestly don't think we're too bad, other than the cold air, for the rest of this week. Lake effect is the only precipitation threat. High pressure is in control pretty much everywhere else. So I think central southern Indiana see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Probably better sunshine potential going through a later Thanksgiving day tomorrow, and especially Friday. On Saturday, clouds are going to increase rather quickly. We have our next weather system showing up in here. And look, here's the issue. This system is coming into a fairly cold air mass already. Now, I do believe a large part of the state sees rain, liquid precipitation, and the liquid equivalent totals for rain or precipitation across the entire state are going to be anywhere from a tenth to half an inch. Where things get interesting is in the northern third of the state, let's say, US 24 northward. There, I think we have to keep the door open to wet snowflakes, and if snow falls with the cold that we see here, I think we can see some accumulations. Now, we are not going to talk totals until probably Friday morning. So I'm going to give you the Thanksgiving holiday to not worry about it at all. And then we'll talk about actual snow totals for the weekend on Friday morning. This system done in most parts of the state by midday Sunday. May see some lake effect hold on a bit longer in the far northern reaches of Indiana Sunday night. And then we move into a week next week, that first full week of December, with not much precipitation. High pressure in here for the middle and later part of that week. Temperatures, though, quite chilly, well below normal, so we're frigid all week long, and I think that also lends itself to some cloud cover. I don't think we're bright and sunny all the way through in the cold air. I think we fight the grays here a little bit through parts of next week. But by the time we get into the weekend of the 6th and 7th, we're seeing a little bit more moisture show up, hit and miss scattered rain and wet snowflakes coming there, and then going into the next week, the second week of December, still can't break out of the cold air cycle, at least through the first part of the week. Yeah, again, Mother Nature pointing to calendar and saying, hey, it's about time I got real here. I'm Ryan Martin.
Harvest reminds us that farming is a team sport. From neighbors lending a hand to partners sharing know-how, teamwork is essential and is how Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance operates on its mission of enabling viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water. Indiana's ag and commodity groups, alongside ISDA and conservation leaders, work together to vet practices that improve the environment while protecting farmers' bottom line. Helping Indiana farmers thrive is a win for all.
Attention farmers, Jim and Jody Johnson are retiring and their premium equipment is heading to Purple Waves December 30th Ag Auction. Don't miss their 2024 John Deere ExactEmerge 1775 NT Planter and 2019 John Deere S760 Combine. This retirement auction features well-maintained machinery that's been part of a successful farming operation with equipment located in Osage, Iowa. Everything sells. Absolute no reserve to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com for details. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
Back and forth trade before a mostly higher close. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll check in with the final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with commentary from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. I checked in with him at the end of the session. Pre-Thanksgiving trade, Arlen, and the markets chopped around quite a bit throughout the Tuesday session. Light volume, what would you characterize the level of volatility as?
It's pretty quiet. It's a holiday week, and it feels like it. Some traders have already left to take the kids to grandma's house, and that shows there's not a lot of news to move the markets either, which is also fairly typical of this holiday period. This is really the beginning of a holiday period now through into the new year, when the markets tend to chop around and rather lower volume and quiet, lower volatility. I think farmers are okay with that as long as it doesn't break to the downside. End users like it as long as it doesn't break to the upside. And basically what we're doing is, for the most part, consolidating in here and trying to focus on China primarily. There's not really any weather story out there in South America or anywhere else to move the markets at this time. So the primary focus is China. And the traders are skeptical that China will buy everything that they've alleged to have committed to. So that's a ceiling to the market. But on the other hand, nobody really wants to drive the market to the short side, just on the chance that maybe they will, because that potential is certainly there. So that leaves us consolidating for now.
Yeah, definitely China is what the trade is interested in right now. A flash sale of soybeans to China announced on Monday morning. Nothing, though, on Tuesday morning. We'll keep an eye on that to get cues from China.
Yeah, absolutely. The weekly export sales report won't be caught up for quite some time until the end of the year. And so therefore, we're going to be depending on those flash sale announcements as well as export inspections, which are current, to really gauge where we're at regarding sending things to China. So far, those export inspections haven't shown a single bushel shipped to China, but there are some ships heading to our ports to load up with soybeans and some other commodities. So we should start seeing them show up in the inspections reports here over the next week or two.
These markets on Tuesday will finish right near steady. Soybean meal was on the plus side Tuesday. Soybean oil a little lower. So what does that tell you as far as the impact on the bean market?
Well, certainly it's supportive of beans. We've had stronger than anticipated demand for meal, which has helped support soybeans in addition to the Chinese business. Probably the most interesting market, though, in that complex has been the soybean oil market, where it finds support underneath of us at a little above the 48 cent level based on hopes and expectations that we're going to have a strong biofuel program confirmed by the EPA at some point in the weeks or the next few months, hopefully sooner rather than later. But we're seeing gains limited by the fact that we still do not have confirmation of that and no word on when that will happen. And so for now, we're chopping sideways largely between that 48 and say 51 cent level.
Arlen Suderman, StoneX, happy Thanksgiving to you. And a final question, Arlen, on Thursday, will it be turkey or ham or just your basic hamburger or hot dog?
It'll be turkey. My preference would be ham or a steak, but, you know, I have to go along with what my wife prepares, and she's traditional. She's going to make that turkey.
I like it. I like it. Enjoy, Arlen.
Thank you. You too. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to our listeners.
Commentary from Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. On the Hat Market Review, the Tuesday final numbers down a quarter cent on December corn, 423.5. Everything else was up in corn, beans, and wheat. March corn, 438.25, up a penny and a half. May up 2.5, 446.75. January beans, 1124.75, a penny and a half higher. March 2.75 up, 1134.75. December wheat bounced back to go a nickel higher, 527.25. Protein sector quiet. December live cattle, 207, down 20. And December lean hogs, 78.45, up 25. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.